Epiphany, and now into the new year, the renewed year, using the metaphor of light. And there's something cleansing about light. We're gonna think about that a little bit today. But first, I want to kind of introduce this year. I don't know about you, but I walked in today and it was bare. It's kind of bare in here after Christmas and the celebration. So let's stand back a minute and look. It's light here. There's a different picture there. There's a classic picture. Who's our artist here? Is that Leonardo da Vinci that painted that on the Sistine Chapel?
Michelangelo,
thank you. We have a number of artists. This is a snapshot of that huge Sistine Chapel. And at the very center of it is humanity reaching. Have you seen that picture? I want to go there. I want to go there. In fact, we're trying to get tickets to get to Rome. We're waiting for the airfares to go down. But I want to see that picture of humanity reaching, and there's God, or what we would portray a light reaching down. And at the very center of that picture is that bright flash, that light, as humanity touches God for just a moment. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Bear with me. It's a fascinating vision. It's prophetic. It's a prophecy of what Jesus is doing. Lynn's going to take this away from me.
It's not working.
Well, then I'll just talk louder. Thank you.
No.
Me and technology, not so much. Is that better, Millie? Can you hear a little bit? Thank you. So today, not to belabor the point, there is intentional light. The altar's covered in white from Christmas, and there is a candle that Marilyn noticed, and there's another candle in the back that you may notice, and there is light white flowers here. We're going to focus on the first verses in the Bible. And then we're going to jump to Mark. Mark is a gospel of action, right? Matthew's a gospel of lawyerly discourse. And Luke is a gospel of some poetry. But Mark gets down to business. And so we're gonna team Genesis and Mark. And if you'd bear with me, I don't want to go into John the Baptist today. I'd like to go into Jesus' baptism. Because we're Anabaptists. We think about that stuff. So here we go. In the new year, Time magazine has a custom of identifying a person of the year. I kind of watch it just to see what popular culture's got going. And sometimes they get it right, sometimes they miss it. Did you see the person of the year this year? Some of you did. Yeah. How many were there?
Many.
A multitude person of the year. Here's the cover.
This is Salome Karwa. She's Person of the Year. You heard of her? Nuh-uh. Oh, wait a minute. Here's Person of the Year. Ella Watson Stryker. She's with Doctors Without Borders. Person of the Year. But wait a minute. That's not enough. We got Fode Gala. Person of the Year. Heard of him? Person of the Year, Dr. Kent Brantley. You might have heard of him. That's just because he's an American. The other people we're going to talk about because they carry the Spirit light. Dr. Kent Brantley is indeed an idealist. At 33, you know the story, he left his comfortable medical practice in Texas suburbs, and he gave up the Porsches and the poolside cocktail parties and the Little League football games with family to answer a call. His mission was to travel halfway around the world to Monrovia. Nice place for a vacation on the beach, you say. Not so much. Not so much. Monrovia is a beautiful place. And the people there, from what I've read, are the friendliest people in West Africa. They're joyful, they're friendly. Their greeting to strangers is not a handshake. It is an embrace. It's a big old fat hug. They're joyful to see you. But something had changed, you see. Darkness and fear stalked these joyful people. Death lay in streets rotting. By the time Kent Brantley arrived, it was hysteria as people fled from a silent, unseen killer. Its name was Ebola. It's there still. Kent said the Spirit led him, quote unquote, the Spirit led him to this place. Most everybody else said he was a fool. You see, Kent happens to be a follower of Jesus. And he did something most of us forget to do. He acted when the Spirit led him. No, it wasn't a spirit of duty. No, it wasn't an obligation or a responsibility. It was a spirit of joy. Because of his faith, Kent brought compassion and healing hands as gifts to those people in need. Here's the other part of the story. His faith in the Spirit of God didn't protect him in this dangerous place. Kent Brantley was the first American to become infected with Ebola. Have you read about that disease? Ebola causes more awful deaths than any disease known to humanity, including the Black Plague of the Middle Ages. It's a more awful death than the Black Plague. But there is always hope. The hopeful part of this story is weeks and weeks near death, Kent miraculously survived. He was healed, and he's again working to defeat Ebola. So let's ask a question here. What spirit compelled Kent to answer the call in the face of almost certain death. It's common with some of our evangelical brothers and sisters to talk about being spirit-led. Have you heard that term? I believe being spirit-led happens daily. I believe it happens with this congregation. I just don't talk about it that way. When we look up, looking up to a Creator God, perhaps a more helpful way to talk about the mystery of the Spirit is to first think about it as light. As light. Why? Well, light repeatedly appears in Scripture. In fact, it's in Genesis 1. It's the first verse of the Bible. And it's also in the Mark 1 passage, towards the end there. In fact, light is mentioned more than 90 times in the New Testament. We, in our new year, might learn to look up to a spirit of hope that is calling us to light. And in looking up, let's not forget to look in. So if you would, bear with me. I know it's hot, I'm yawning, I'm sweating, but if you would bear with me, look in for just a moment to Scripture. Look in to Genesis 1, 1 through 4. It talks about a spirit of God. And Don read it. There's three parts to this passage. In the beginning, those are familiar words. In the beginning, the Spirit was heaven and earth. My Aramaic translation says, the Spirit of God moves across the face of the waters. It's kind of poetic, isn't it? A Spirit of God moving across faceless water. Then the second thing happens. Light appears. And the third thing that happens is this light is called good. It's separated. There's a line separating light and darkness. This isn't just some metaphorical, symbolic verse. We need to lean into this one a little bit more. So, it's pretty simple. The Spirit of God is light. Light is held away from darkness, and the Spirit of God holds them apart. We happen to be of the light. That's why we're here. We are of light. Now look again. Look in again. Look into Mark 1. I'm going to really focus on 9 to 11. Bear with me. It's the story of humanity's first experience with spirit light. It's the first time this happens. And again, I'm going to read in Jesus' language in Aramaic. This spirit is called Roka. There's a name for it. Roka, spirit, in Mark 1, baptizes Jesus. I missed that part when I read through this. I was all focused on the guy eating bees and wearing weird belts. No, I missed it. John announces he comes to prepare the way for this event, a baptism by the Spirit. Spirit Roka baptizes Jesus for a life ministry. Watch it. Everything changes after that. Mark frames this Spirit light differently than the Gospels of Luke or Matthew. You might want to compare them. The wording's a little different. The intent is a little bit different. Listen to it again. Jesus comes out of Nazareth in Galilee. We know that part. He travels deep into wilderness. He's left the city. He's traveling into wilderness to the edge of the promised land of the Hebrews. The Jordan River divides the promised land from the rest of the world. He goes there, and he is baptized and called to mission. This verse in my version is entitled, Preparing the Way. It introduces the first step we must take as followers of Jesus. So what prepares the way of Jesus as he begins his ministry? It's pretty simple. It's the Spirit of light, the very Spirit of God. Three things happen in this little section, in this message. Read it again. First, quite simply, Jesus is baptized in the wild Jordan River. Immediately as he comes out of the water, this is immersion, baptism by immersion. I don't know if you've been there, but it's quite a sight to see. He comes up out of the water, and the sky is opened in joy. My version says, the heavens are torn open in joy. And then a spirit of light, like a dove of peace, descends upon him. And thirdly, then, a remarkable voice is heard by hundreds of eyewitnesses, everyone that was there. There's no physical body, just this presence and a voice of eternity. And it says, you are my beloved son, and I am pleased with you. The journey to Easter starts at this moment. So that's a mouthful. How do we connect Genesis and Mark? Well, we understand spirit in a God of creation. At the very beginning, the Spirit of God brings light. And when God hears the cries of creation, all through the Old Testament, these cries and these yearnings, when God hears those cries, he sends Jesus. At the River Jordan, Jesus is armed with the power of the Holy Spirit and commissioned as Redeemer of this world. Jesus comes to remind us, personally, there's a difference. There's a difference, folks, between light and darkness. You get to choose, but I'm here to announce the difference. You'll never be the same if you hear that. Let's close. Let's close by looking out into your world. So the Son of God, he calls himself that, and the Son of all humanity, he calls himself that as well, was simply called and clearly commissioned here in Mark. The way was prepared for him in light and love. How about you? What have you all been called to do? You thought about that? As an Anabaptist, what have you been baptized to do? Traveling to Monrovia to battle Ebola might not be your mission. And I would respect that. I ain't going there either right now. Maybe, though, maybe just the joy of living in light could be what you're called to do. Maybe joy is what you're baptized to be at your very core. Author Zeke Miller once said, joy exists outside the realm of what is. That's why we all seek it, to make something else of who we are. Jesus, at the core, came in joy and was commissioned in light. He walked with the assurance that God's Spirit light was with him. And he said something important to us when he left us at Easter. I think we ought to read ahead a little bit. He said, I leave you now with the Counselor, the Comforter, the Guide. I leave you with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit light is the gift of Christmas. And it's a gift of a renewed year. May that Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.